Well, hey there. Greetings and salutations, everybody. Welcome back to the channel for this, our open mic here on Tuesday, March the 21st. Of course, here on open mic, we do two things. Number one, we get caught up on the questions from the morning show that we didn't have enough time to get around to on the morning show. And then when we have some time left over, we open up the super chats to take some live comments and questions from you guys. If you guys have some thoughts or theories, opinions, and hello to everybody who's already here early, the early birds, the Laser, Mark Gaming, Thomas, Eddie, Affair, all you guys who are here already. Welcome to the channel. We're glad that you're here today. So, did you see what happened? One of the stories that we talked about this morning, for those of you who weren't there, we talked about this morning, there was a report in the Wrap that Dwayne Johnson may have been the one to torpedo and sabotage the studio's plans to have Shazam cameo in Black Adam, and then to have a couple of members of the Justice Society who were in Black Adam to then cameo and appear in the Shazam movie. And just 3 days before they were supposed to shoot, the Wrap reported that Dwayne Johnson sunk it and said, no, you can't do that. Well, apparently since we did the show, Zachary Levi has apparently on social media kind of confirmed that that's what happened. Now, again, something I said on the show this morning, even if that story is true and Dwayne Johnson did that, and it's not a good look if Dwayne Johnson did that, like sabotaging somebody else's movie because it's not what you wanted or sour grapes or whatever. While it's not a good look, the fact, even if it did happen, it didn't really affect the outcome. Like nobody believes that Shazam Fury of the Gods opening to $30 million would have suddenly opened to $85 million if the Justice Society made a cameo in a post-credit scene, right? Nobody believes that Black Adam would have made, instead of making $300 million, would have made $900 million if Shazam made a quick cameo in a post-credit scene or something, right? Like nobody believes that would have happened. So I still don't believe it makes it his fault, but Zachary Levi seemed to have confirmed that. We'll talk more about that on the John Campia show tomorrow. So anyway, yes, that's what we're going to do here today. We're going to get through the remaining questions that we didn't have time to get through on the John Campia show. And then we will open up the super chats to take any live comments or questions that you guys have about any or all the topics that we're discussing here today or discussed earlier on the show. You have to forgive me. My voice is a little raw. Too much. I'd like to say it was that, but maybe it was the cold air that I was in this weekend. I'm not really sure. So forgive me if my voice gets a little hoarse as we're going through. All right, let's get over to your live questions now, or not live questions, but the questions you guys have sent in. Jesse Has a Turtle writes, possibility of Sylvester Stallone not coming back to the Creed franchise. What would be the best route for the character? Yeah, you know what's funny? I saw an interview with Sylvester Stallone, I want to say yesterday, where Stallone was basically talking about why he didn't come back and that he's open to coming back for future Creed movies, right? And that is a far cry from what he had been saying for, because he and his brother, Frank Stallone, have been like trashing Creed 3 and trashing, Frank Stallone particularly, trashing Michael B. Jordan and all this kind of stuff. And now he's saying he'd be open to coming back. He might've burned that bridge. So the possibility of Sylvester Stallone coming back, I think is small. Even if there ever was a possibility, like once he said he was coming back, I think he may have burned the bridge. I don't know. Now, if he did come back, the best path forward for him is to say, you know, during the events of Creed 3, he was up in, where did his son end up living at the end of Creed 2? Was it in Vancouver? Because remember, Creed 2 ends with him going to see his son, Milo Ventimiglia. And I think that was up in Vancouver. So I think they can just say that's where he was and he's living his new life. And if he wanted to come back, then he could come back. All right. Next up, Narf writes, who has the better chance of getting back to a championship game, Cowboys or Maple Leafs? I actually say this year, the Maple Leafs. The Cowboys, I just never believe in. I never believe in the Cowboys. I probably won't as long as Jerry Jones. Now, Jerry Jones has won Super Bowls. Make no mistake. But I just have a feeling as long as he's there, I don't know that they'll ever go to a Super Bowl again. All right. Next, Kathleen Kennedy. I'm sure it's the absolute real Kathleen Kennedy says, I'm only burning my half. Of course, the Heath Ledger Joker line from Dark Knight. All right. Next up, we've got Dialdar, the Glorious, who writes, hopefully one day we'll get a Mass Effect adaptation. It's a perfect game for it. It's top tier storytelling for a game. Also, Tali is best girl, LOL. You know, we are in a really interesting time right now because I don't know that I have ever been as hopeful for the possible future of video game adaptations as I am today. Now, there was a period of time a few years ago, and we talked about this on the show earlier today. There was a period of time a few years ago when right in the same vicinity, we had Assassin's Creed coming out with Michael Fassbender, and we had a World of Warcraft movie, being directed by Duncan Jones, who is a terrific director. And so I really believe during that time that we were on the precipice of a golden age for video game adaptations. I really believe that for a while. And of course, then Assassin's Creed was, in my opinion, really, really terrible. And I liked World of Warcraft, but it was not well received by a lot of people. And that whole thing was the whole thing about that golden age being ushered in of comic book movies, well, that kind of evaporated. And then we've had more years of terrible adaptations. But I'm telling you what, though, now with The Last of Us and Super Mario Brothers looks fantastic. And I think God of War is going to be great. I mean, we don't know. It's a long ways away. But I mean, now is the time. I mean, I think now is the time that a lot of studios are going to look at potential adaptations to put into production. And maybe now is the day. The time is now, is what they could say. All right. Next up, an anonymous viewer writes, hey guys, remember when you do send in a tip link, this has always been the case, but when you do send in a tip using the tip link, don't forget to put in your name, because if you're going to support our channel, I want to make sure you get a shout out. So just try to remember to put your name in there. Anyway, anonymous viewer writes, because if you don't put in your name, it automatically inserts anonymous, unfortunately. Okay. If Jeremy Renner decides to leave acting due to his injuries, as well as saying that acting is no longer a priority, what will happen to the mayor of Kingstown? And what will happen to his character, Hawkeye? Do they recast? You know what? I really think, okay, so I think there are two different answers on that. I think on the one hand, with Mayor of Kingstown, I think the show ends. I don't know that you recast him in Mayor of Kingstown, because that show, while I believe all actors like cogs in a well-oiled machine can be replaced, the mayor of Kingstown was really built around him. You know what I mean? So it's particularly challenging to just recast him in that. So especially as a show, I think they might just end the show. Not to mention Taylor Sheridan has a lot going on. So pardon me. I think if, and it's a big if Jeremy Renner decides to hang him up and call it a day, and say it's been a good career, I think they end Mayor of Kingstown, and I do not think they recast Hawkeye. I mean, look, there's an argument to be made that they may not have any plans for Hawkeye moving forward anyway, at least not the Jeremy Renner Hawkeye. Like maybe the, what's the actress's name who was just in the Hawkeye series with them? The singer. My wife loves her. She was in Bumblebee, and I'm freezing on her name. I cannot... anyway, you know the girl I'm talking about. I don't even know that even if the accident had not happened, CJ Rebirth put in Haley Steinfeld. Thank you, Haley Steinfeld. I think there's an argument to be made that even if Jeremy Renner's accident didn't happen, they may not have had plans for him in the MCU moving forward anyway, right? So if he decides to retire, I really think that just drives that nail home. And I don't think we're going to see Hawkeye again. Now, again, nobody's saying that he's done. I love Jeremy Renner, multi-time Oscar nominated actor. I love him in Mayor of Kingstown. I really hope he does come back. But hey, listen, if he decides that life is short, I got other things I want to do, God bless him. But I think that Mayor of Kingstown will end, sadly, unfortunately. And I think we will no longer see Clint as Hawkeye anymore. It'll be Haley Steinfeld moving forward. All right. Thanks a lot for that, Anonymous. And again, guys, try to remember to put in your name. And again, an anonymous writer writes, Hollywood missed opportunities. A Halo movie about 15 years ago, that was actually Peter Jackson's fault. Ghostface Killer from Wu-Tang in a Scream movie, and an action movie that faced The Rock and Stone Cold against each other again. I actually don't know. I agree with, well, one of them. The Halo movie was a missed opportunity. Unfortunately, one of my favorite guys in Hollywood, Peter Jackson, the guy who made the Lord of the Rings trilogy, one of the greatest sets of movies of all time. It really was his fault. For whatever reason, for those of you who don't remember, like they were going to make a Halo movie a bunch of years ago, bunch of years ago, like even long before my AMC days. It was during my early movie blog days, back when I was still doing the movie blog. And they wanted Peter Jackson to direct a Halo movie. And I think initially Peter Jackson was like, yeah, I'll direct a Halo movie and I'll produce it and all that kind of stuff. And then later, and then the studios were getting on board. And then later Peter Jackson said, you know what? I don't think I'll direct. Well, okay. Well, who would direct it? Well, I got this guy who's never worked on a movie in his life. Not just never directed a movie, never worked on a feature-length film in any capacity ever, by the name of Neil Blomkamp. Now, you might recognize his name because he went on to do District 9, which was great. Unfortunately, he also went on to do Elysium, which it's all subjective, but to me was quite a bad movie. And then he did Chappie, which also to me was quite a bad movie. Those movies have their fans, and that's great. But I thought those two movies were terrible. But at any rate, at the time, this guy, Neil Blomkamp, had never directed a feature film, had never been an assistant director on the feature film, has never been on the set of a feature film. And Peter Jackson picked him to direct Halo, to which the studio said, I don't think that we're going to put up hundreds of millions of dollars and risk it all on somebody who's never directed a feature film before. We're not going to do that. Peter Jackson stuck by his guns, said, nope, this is the guy who's going to direct it. And the studio's like, are you sure you don't want to direct it, Peter? Nope, I want this guy to direct it. And it all fell apart. The studios one by one started to pull their support and the project fell apart. And I hate saying it about one of my favorite people, but it was Peter Jackson's fault that fell apart. At any rate, that was a big missed opportunity. I don't think The Rock and Stone Cold would have been a particularly great one, especially back in the day. But yeah, it would have been great to have a Halo movie. Would have been great to have a Halo movie back in those days, man. All right, let's keep going here. Next up, we got Ulatan writes, hey, John, since once upon a time, you were a B-boy, I was a professional breakdancer. Do you have any classic hip-hop movies that you love? Wild Style, Beat Street, Breakin'? Oh, I loved all of them. Are you kidding me? Back in the day, Beat Street, King of the Beat. We'll be rocking that beat up and down the street. Uh-huh. Beat Street is a lesson too, because you can't let the street beat you. I mean, they have Beat Street, man. I loved Beat Street. I was totally down with Breakin'. Of course, it's legendary sequel, Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo. Yeah, those are the days, man, that me and my friends in the block, we were all breakdancers. We wore our Adidas windbreaker outfits. We'd break out the cardboard boxes. We'd bring out, you know, the big boom boxes, put in some... who were some people who play? Back in the day, we'd play a lot of Run DMC, Houdini, DJ Melly Mel and the Furious Five, Kool Moe Dee. By the way, Kool Moe Dee might be my favorite rapper of all time. But anyway, so we'd play some Kool Moe Dee, stuff like that. And we would dance on the boxes. Back in the day, I had shaved almost to the skin, shaved sides of my head, right? And longer hair on top. And in the little stubble on the side of my head, I shaved in lightning bolts. I wish I was joking. I shaved in lightning bolts. And there was a product called Sun-In that you'd spray in your hair and would lighten your hair, make it look like blondish, right? So I would pump entire bottles of Sun-In on the short hair on the sides of my head with the lightning bolt going down the middle. So I had like blondish hair here, longer hair on the top. Blashinti in the live chat is saying, oh my God is right. It was a sight to behold. And we would break dance. We got paid. We would get paid by local events and radio stations and parks to go to events and break dance and all that kind of stuff. Those were the days, my friend. So I was saying, we need pics. Oh, no pics will ever be made public. No pics will ever be made public. There is, to the best of my knowledge, one VHS tape. One VHS tape in existence of me and my compatriots breakdancing at the local mall, the downtown mall, the Lloyd G. Jackson Square Mall, for the local radio station that was known as CKOC. Anybody who still lives in the Hamilton or Toronto area, let me know if CKOC still exists. But that was the big radio station in the area at the time. And they had an event, and there is one VHS tape in existence of that event. That VHS tape is buried in the bottom of a box that is on the property of the Campia Ranch up in Canada, buried amongst tons of other boxes. You know, you just imagine the end of Indiana Jones, the Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's guarded by top men, and they reeled it into a warehouse with thousands of other boxes. That's where the one VHS tape of my breakdancing days exists, and it will never see the light of day. I don't think I'll destroy it, but it will never see the light of day. All right. That said, let's see. Next up, we got Jake Clark, who writes, over under 50%, Levi Shazam is in the series Waller. You know, the post-credit scene of Shazam Fury of the Gods suggests that it could be possible. I'm going to go under 50%. Like, for a series like Waller, I don't know how you have a character as powered as Shazam in the show and not that be a big distraction. The show is not called Shazam. The show is called Waller. So it is possible. It is possible. By the way, Canadian Spring in the live chat is saying CKOC now plays classic songs. Okay, there you go. So the radio station still exists. There you go. So I'm going to go, I'm not going to say 0% chance that he's in it, because again, the post-credit scene opens up the possibility. So I'm not going to say zero, but I will say under 50% will be my guess. Under 50% is my guess. All right. Next up, we got Carlos Sosa, who writes, got my ticket for John Wick on Thursday at the AMC Americana and IMAX. Nice. The seats there are very comfy. They are. I've been to the AMC Americana. If we're talking about the one in near Beverly Hills, it's quite a good, it's a good theater. I like it a lot. The seats there are very comfy. I'm stoked. Dude, I am so excited. Listen, March for me has been, I as a movie fan, you guys see the show host. And I try to let you see as much of the real me as possible, which is just the gibbering movie fan, right? But the gibbering movie fan, I have been waiting 3 years for a month like March. Like, we all think of the pandemic being way in our rearview mirror, but the reality is we have still been living in the after effects of the pandemic with the movie industry, right? So like, big releases and all that kind of stuff have been few and far between. It's like, yeah, we had Top Gun Maverick and we had Avatar, but those were coming miles apart from each other with very little in the middle, all that kind of stuff. Like, we haven't been back to like full true Hollywood release schedules. And March has kind of been that return. And for me, it has been a great return. Creed 3, I thought was great. Scream 6, I liked very much. 65, I enjoyed. The Adam Driver film, 65. I enjoyed that movie. Shazam, I had a really good time with Shazam. Dungeons and Dragons, which comes out at the end of March, but we had a chance to be at that event to watch it. Loved Dungeons and Dragons. And now, get to go see John Wick on Thursday night. Dude, it's just been so long as gibbering film fans that we've had to wait to have like a schedule like this, like a lineup like this. This has been heaven. It's been absolutely heaven. So Yeah, for me, it's been great. I cannot wait for both you, Carlos, and me to go and see John Wick on Friday. Again, the reviews, last I checked the full reviews, it's at a 93%, which is the highest critically rated that the John Wick franchise has been at so far. The initial reactions were fantastic. The trailers have been great. I cannot wait for John Wick, man. I cannot wait. I can't wait to do that at a theater review, too. All right. Next up, Kevin G writes, just a reminder that during the 2020 Investor Days call, what a day that was. That was fantastic. Investors Day call, Lucasfilm also announced the development of Children of Blood and Bone. I forgot about that movie before allowing the rights to lapse and be purchased by Paramount. I was a big Kathy Kennedy supporter, but she has failed. I'll be honest with you. I agree. I'm a big Kathy Kennedy fan, but the experiment of her being the president of Lucasfilm has not worked. I've been very clear about that. But I was always, to be honest with you, I always thought the Children of Blood and Bone was a little off brand for Lucasfilm. I never thought that was the right property for them. So instead of just doing it for the sake of doing it, letting the rights lapse might've been the best thing for it. I mean, if we're remembering that correctly, and that is the kind of the way it went down, it might actually be for the best that's the way it went down. So, I mean, I'm okay with it, but yes, again, it is both true. People think you have to be one or other. You either have to be 100% anti Kathy Kennedy, or you have to be 100% for her. And the reality is I am neither. I really appreciate a lot about Kathy Kennedy and the successes and the big wins and the iconic career she has had, but I can be both that, an admirer and respecter her for her career, and also be a realist that the experiment of her being the president of Lucasfilm has not worked. I think that's a generous way to say it. It has not worked. But you know, it is what it is. All right. Next up. And this is the last one we've got from Ethan Holgate, who writes, "Hey John, I'm honestly glad David S. Sandberg is done with superhero movies. Not saying he can't do better in other stuff, but to me, what he did with both Shazam movies really didn't work for me. They were too boring and generic in my opinion, but I'm glad you like them." I'll tell you what, Ethan, I mean, obviously I disagree. I respect your opinion. That's the beautiful thing about being movie fans, is we can all have different opinions about the movies. You didn't like something that I particularly loved, and I probably don't like something you particularly loved, and we can get together and talk about it and have fun. That's the great thing about the art. I do disagree, though. I think what he did with Shazam was very not generic. Like, what he did with Shazam was so very different from especially all the other DC films that were coming out. They did something charming and fun and light and endearing, and I loved the first one. Totally loved the first one. And I really appreciated the second one. I had a lot of fun with the second one. I didn't think the second was quite as good as the first, but I still had a lot of fun with it. What's also really interesting about it is, remember, he was coming out of horror, because he did that awesome, awesome film, Lights Out. I love that little horror film. It was one of the, first of all, Lights Out was better to me, maybe the best short film on YouTube in history. Like, honestly, Lights Out as just a pure little short film is one of the best I've ever seen on YouTube. And when they turned that little short film into a full-length feature film and they let him direct that as well, I was like, can you really stretch out that short little 3-minute YouTube movie? Literally, it was about 3 minutes long. Can you really stretch that out into a full-length feature film? And they found a way to do it, and it was absolutely wonderful. Yeah, just damn, I really did like it a lot. I think he's a great director, and it saddens me that he's going to have to go out on a note like this, because I personally thought Shazam 2 was quite good, but I respect the fact that it didn't work for you. Cause again, that's the great thing about movies, man. All right, guys, we are now all cut up. By the way, if you did send in a tip link in the last hour or so, it probably didn't make it onto our list, but don't worry, it is on the list and will probably be one of the first questions we address on the John Campia show tomorrow. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to go in and open up the super chats. If you guys have a live question you would like to ask and fire in, go ahead and you can do that now. If you don't see the super chat option available to you, just wait a second, go ahead and hit refresh, and then you can fire some in, and we'll spend, the next 20, 25 minutes of our time talking about that. Now, before we get to those questions that you guys are going to go ahead and send in, we want to take a second and thank the sponsor of our video here today, Mint Mobile. We want to take a second to thank a sponsor of this video, Mint Mobile. If saving more and spending less is one of your top goals for 2023, why are you still paying insane amounts of money every month for your phone bill? Switching to Mint Mobile is the easiest way to save this year. As the first company to sell premium wireless service online only, Mint Mobile lets you order from home and save a ton with phone plans starting at just $15 a month. You guys know I made the switch over to Mint Mobile a while ago. The process couldn't have been easier, and I can't believe that I am spending less than a third of what I was spending on one of the other major carriers before. By going online only and eliminating the traditional costs of retail, Mint Mobile passes the significant savings on to you. All plans come with unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and switch easily in minutes with eSIM. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door free, go to mintmobile.com/Campia. That's mintmobile.com/Campia. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Campia. Guys, we want to take a second to thank the sponsor of today's video, Fume. Be smart. Don't start. Kick the habit. Put it out before it puts you out. All phrases we've heard 100 times, yet we still continue to have bad habits. And I know all of you guys completely relate with me when I say kicking bad habits feel like it's impossible. Well, thankfully, our sponsor Fume is on a mission to accelerate humanity's breakup from the bad habits that consume far too many of us. Fume is a natural diffusive device that uses plants and behavioral science to help you trade out your negative habit for a positive one. And understand, Fume is not a vape. It's a non-electronic device designed to transform your negative habits. Instead of pods filled with potentially harmful chemicals like a vape, Fume uses cores infused with plants like peppermint and cinnamon for delicious natural flavors. And Fume's new version 2 model is snappy and tactile. The easiest way to stop a bad habit is to switch to a positive one, and Fume is designed perfectly to do just that. It's Fume's goal to make switching easy and even enjoyable. They have thousands of 5-star reviews from people just like you who've successfully switched when other solutions simply don't work. So head to tryfume.com and use the code CAMPIA to save 10% off when you get the Journey Pack today. The Journey Pack comes with 3 unique flavors and the new version 2 Fume to help kickstart your positive habits. That's tryfume.com and use the code CAMPIA to save an additional 10% off on your order today. And thank you to our friends at Fume and Mint Mobile for sponsoring the John Campia show. All right, guys, it's time for us to go over and start taking your questions that you guys have been firing in live here. So let me see if I can get them lined up here. Takes me a moment because now I'm all on my lonesome trying to do this by myself. Let's see here. All right, I think we're ready to go. Let me try this, see if I can get this on screen. We can't. Oh, you know what? But we don't have people's names on it. Let me see if I can get your names in here. There we go. Okay, now we got names in it. All right. First up, we're starting with is Big Mouth Stan, who writes, have you seen reports of Jonathan Majors playing Dennis Rodman in an upcoming movie? I have not. That's an interesting choice. For them to choose Jonathan Majors to play Dennis Rodman. It's an interesting choice for Jonathan Majors to want to play Dennis Rodman. That's an interesting one. So I have not seen those reports, but that would be an interesting choice. All right, Alex Von Gollum writes, regarding possible Star Wars High Republic, it would be something fresh. It would be akin to the House of the Dragon centuries before Episode 1. Are you interested? I am. Now, I like the idea of High Republic. I like the idea of High Republic. I picked up the first High Republic novel that came out. Did not love it, to be honest with you. But listen, I would honestly, I mean, as long as not in the eras that we've already covered many, 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 many times, I would honestly prefer to move the timeline forward. I would honestly like to see what happens 10 years after the events of the Rise of Skywalker, but not with Rey, Poe, and Finn, like a totally new set of characters. The galaxy is a vast, 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 big, big, big place. There are all types of new characters and stories you can tell, but I wouldn't hate the idea of them doing New Republic. I wouldn't hate it. Okay. Next up, Eddie Vedder stunt double writes, back in the day, Lucasfilm helped make other things beyond Star Wars, Indy and Willow. Since Disney acquired the studio, do you think they'll ever again branch beyond those three franchises? I do think eventually, but I mean, Disney also seems to be very like, what's the best word I'm looking for? They seem to be really focused on knowing your expertise. Like, for example, I don't think Marvel Studios will ever do something other than Marvel, right? It's like, that is Marvel Studios' lane. That is their job for Disney, is to make Marvel content. I wonder if Disney is at all interested in letting Lucasfilm do things beyond, well, they're going to have to do things beyond Indiana Jones, because unless they're going to recast Indiana Jones and get a new younger Indiana Jones, whatever, and Star Wars content. It'll be interesting to see if Disney lets them do things. I personally think they will. And yeah, so that'll be good. All right. By the way, can I just say something? There's something really ignorant in the live chat that I just got to point out. Reese Lindsay writes, Kathleen Kennedy pushed the goals of LGBTQ. Fans didn't buy it. Fuck off. Just fuck off. Listen, not being a backward thinking troglodyte and saying we need to exclude anybody out of our movies that isn't straight and white is not pushing an agenda. The world, and therefore the galaxy, will have women and men of different colors and of different sexual orientations. They were just included. This fucking pisses me off when I see people so ignorantly go, Star Wars was all just about pushing an agenda. What agenda? What? Point to me, you know, like, because here's the thing. I've talked about this before. If you want to point to Supergirl and say there was kind of an agenda in Supergirl, like this very pro-feminist women agenda, not that I don't care that they did, but if you want to point at that show and say they had it, you'd have a point, because it felt like, especially in season one, which is really the only season I watched, but when you watch season one of Supergirl, they were constantly going on about, I'm a girl, and as a girl, I can do this. And they were always talking about girl power, right? They were always talking about that, right? So I remember I had this discussion with somebody once who said, like, oh, Star Wars is just all about pushing a feminist agenda. I'm like, point to me the scene in Star Wars, The Force Awakens, point to me the scene in The Force Awakens where Rey goes, I can stand up to the First Order because the power of women will carry me. The sheer force of my vagina is enough to free the galaxy because of the tender flowering power of womanhood. Point to me the scene in Star Wars, The Force Awakens, that happened. Oh, there is no scene like that. There is nothing in the movie like that. Oh, really? So just admit it. You're just fucking sad and mad that they had a girl in a lead role. Just admit it. Just admit it. You were just threatened like a fragile little child that they had a girl in the lead role. Like, I tell you this and I mean it wholeheartedly. If the original Star Wars came out today, people would call it woke nonsense and woke garbage because Princess Leia took charge. Like they'll say today, because it's too late for them to jump on that bandwagon, but they'll say today, oh, well, we loved Princess Leia. Yeah, but if Star Wars came out today and Princess Leia came out of that thing, get this walking carpet out of my way, and she takes charge and stuff like that, they would call the original Star Wars the biggest piece of woke bullshit and all that kind of stuff. Blah, blah, blah. And there is nothing in The Force Awakens that had any of that. It just so happened that a girl was the lead character. That's it. And then, yeah, the same as Aliens. It's true, Michael Gonzalez. If Aliens came out today, that scene where, like, they go, I don't know if you can handle that power lifter stuff thing, and Ripley gets into it, boom, boom, boom. It's like, where do you want it put? Like, she showed them, right? Like, Ripley showed them. If Aliens came out today, they'd be calling, oh, the Aliens movie's just all woke. It's all woke because a woman did something. God, it makes me sad for my gender. What happened to men? Men have become such fragile, insecure, fearful little snowflakes that they get feared and frightened at little rabbits. Oh no, the women are coming. Oh no, the gays are coming. Oh no, the black people are coming. Oh no. Like, what happened to fucking men? Anyway. Inevitably, this is the one that always gets me. You say, well, Kathy Kennedy wore that The Force is Female shirt. You do realize The Force is Female was a Nike ad campaign that was supporting female athletics, and she wore it to support them. But everybody's like, oh, Kathy Kennedy, she wore a Force is Female shirt. Oh, we're so scared. The girls are coming because my little penis is so shriveled into my body. I can't be threatened. I mean, it just, I've got my issues with Marvel and Star Wars, and I got my issues with Kathleen Kennedy. Y'all know that. But this whole frightened little rabbit, faux, insecure, pathetic excuse that they call men these days, that are insecure and frightened and fearful. It just, oh God, it irritates me. Maybe that's the Italian in me. I don't know. But it just, it irritates me to no end. Anybody, let's keep going here, shall we? I think I'm too far ahead. Where are we supposed to be here? The Indian. Okay, so that was Eddie Vedder. Suthius's question comes, ever since mid-year of 2021, I've been taking my oldest to see movies on Saturday nights, usually on the IMAX screen at our local Regal. That's awesome. And I'm spoiled that my only 2D movie has been Wakanda Forever. I'm so spoiled that my only 2D movie has been Wakanda Forever. First of all, what an awesome tradition to create with your kid. That is awesome. What an awesome, awesome thing to do. That is a great tradition. And I guarantee you that is a tradition, and you're creating memories with your kid that your kid will always remember. I remember every time my mom or my parents or a family member took me to a movie. I remember all of them. You are creating awesome, awesome shared experience memories. And that is awesome. Now, I myself am not a big fan of 3D. Granted. So maybe I would go to more 2D screenings. But hey, if 3D works for you, that's awesome. All right. Let's see here. Next up, that was Suthius. We got Jesse Has a Turtle who writes, hey, John, thanks for getting back and answering my chat about Sylvester Stallone. But that wasn't what I typed. Not sure why it was changed. I don't know. I hand it off to Taylor, and Taylor puts those, gathers all the questions together for me. Sometimes if he thinks something's just ramble a bit, he'll edit it a little bit for things. So I don't know. Taylor's not here. Everybody's off for the rest of the day, so I can check with him. But hopefully we got to the heart of what your question was. All right. Daniel Haygood writes, with all the discourse around Kathleen Kennedy, I'm wondering, what educational background and job experience does one need to become a producer? Well, you can become a producer anytime you want. Like, for instance, if I wanted to, I could get on a chat forum somewhere, like a filmmaker's chat forum, and I could say, hey, I've got $150,000. Wouldn't that be great? I have $150,000 that I want to invest in making a movie. If you're a filmmaker and you've got an idea, or if you got a script you'd like to sell the rights, or you are a filmmaker and you've already got a movie ready to go, but you just need the financing to make it, come pitch me. Come pitch me. And boom, I would be the producer, probably, maybe technically speaking, the executive producer of that movie. I mean, you can be a producer just like that. Listen, if you want to know more about what it is a producer does and whatever, I would look on the front page of our YouTube channel, and under our editorials, we've got one on called What Does a Producer Do? What is a producer? And we kind of break it down. And if you're interested in learning more about that, I would suggest going and checking out that video. It should be right there on the front page of the YouTube channel. All right. Next up, we have, that was Daniel. All right. Next up, we've got Eddie Vedder Stunt Double who writes, in the unlikely chance that the movie critic is indeed, that's the upcoming new Quentin Tarantino and allegedly final Quentin Tarantino film. In the unlikely chance that the movie critic is indeed Tarantino's last movie, do you think he could do original TV work? A couple of months ago, we heard that he had developed a TV series. Oh, I think he's more than developed it. I think they're quite well along the way of like pre-production on a TV series. He's talked about that. I expect to see him do some television series. I do. 100% I do. But I also don't think he's done with making movies. Movies is a different animal, and it's something very, very special. And I really think that he believes this next movie will be his last movie, but at some point an idea is going to pop into his head, and it's going to itch and itch and itch in his head till he finally sits down one day and go, okay, well, theoretically, if I were going to do something with this idea, and he'll start typing away. It's like, maybe I do this, maybe this. And before you know it, he'll have a screenplay and then he'll just have to make it. You know what I mean? He'll make it all. But yes, I completely believe he will be doing television at some point, Eddie. I really, really do. All right. Next up, we got Papayas and Peas. That's a great username. Writes, I saw Paint last night. I don't know that I know which one Paint is. I saw Paint last night at Regal's mystery movie. Wow. That might be one of the weirdest movies I've seen, but I kind of loved it. Okay. I don't know off the top of my head. I feel bad. Let's see. Paint. Let me see if I can find this thing. A 2023 movie. Oh, that's the one with Owen Wilson playing freaking, what's his name? Bob Ross. I totally forgot about that. I totally forgot they were making this. Okay, so they screened it at the Regal mystery movie thing? Okay, and the only thing you can tell me is that it was weird. Okay, I mean, I'm looking at the trailer of it right now. I'm looking at the trailer, and first of all, Owen Wilson looks awesome. Owen Wilson looks completely awesome. All right, it's weird. Okay, I am absolutely curious to watch this movie. I am 100% curious to watch this movie. We'll see how it turns out. Anyway, that's awesome. That's a pretty good one for a surprise screening. I like that. All right. Next up, Talkin' Entertainment writes, the things I loved about D&D was that they didn't have a romantic relationship between Pine and Rodriguez, like the relationship between Shang-Chi and Katie. Yeah, it's so stereotypical. I love it when a movie will have something that looks like it's going to go in a big stereotypical direction, but then they resist the urge to go in that stereotypical direction, right? Shang-Chi is a great example of that. The fact that they never turned Shang and Katie into a romantic relationship was awesome. I love, they were just good, lifelong friends. And they did the same thing in Dungeons and Dragons. There's a lot of things I love about Dungeons and Dragons, man. That movie is way better than it has any business being. I can't wait for the rest of you to go see it. Again, it's not going to win any Oscars, but I had a really good time. I think most of you will too. All right. Thanks for pointing that out, Talking Entertainment. Next up, Chris Hunt writes, all the HBO Max pandemic day and dates except Dune are on Netflix now. Is that true? I knew there was a thing with the HBO Max releases that they already had pre-existing deals to be on Netflix. And by the way, if they're all on Netflix right now, they won't be there forever. They'll have a limitation on their license run, and then they'll probably go back over to HBO Max. But that is a fun little factoid that all of the HBO Max pandemic day releases, except for Dune, are currently not even on HBO Max or on Netflix. That is interesting. Listen, in the world of entertainment, the convoluted stuff of licenses and terms of licenses and when something can go on here and here for content is complex and convoluted. But I think as the streaming era progresses, it'll become a little bit simpler. But for now, we're going to keep seeing stuff like that. That's a great little factoid to point out, Chris. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. FangBlaze71 writes, been listening to the Stranger Things score / soundtrack lately. It's amazing. It is a good soundtrack. Actually, and it's more than just a it's more than just that. They've actually got really good music in that show. That's a show that I think people underestimate. Like, I think a lot of people look at Stranger Things and they just think of it in terms of its general concept of the show. It's this weird little thing about the upside down, but it's actually quite a good show. It's well written. They have interesting characters. There's not just one overarching story. There is each individual character have like their own little subplots going. It's a well-made, well-thought-out, well-charted and blueprinted show on many, many levels. And the music is just one of those. So I agree with you, Fanglaze. All right. Next up, Atomic Bruh writes, how much, if at all, do you think Chapek's hierarchy negatively impact the latest Marvel disappointments? I think significantly. Listen, I said this before, but as much as I didn't like Chapek's reign. You can't blame all the ills on Chapek, right? There's a bunch you can, but there's a bunch that preceded him. Let's just say. However, when he created his new power structure, where he took authority away from Kevin Feige and all the various studio heads, and he created this brand new division of a middle layer of management that was, I can't remember what he called the entertainment division. I can't remember what he called it, but he took his right-hand man, a dude who was a banker, and put this right-hand man of his that he had been loyal to him for a long time and made him in charge of that. And then that new middle layer of management department had authority to decide how much got made and where it would go. Because it used to be Kevin Feige had the decision-making power to decide how many Marvel projects does he want to make, and does he want to make it for Disney Plus? Does he want to make it for the movies? Whatever. That used to be Kevin Feige's decision-making. But under Chapek, with the different, with that middle layer of management he created, that department being run by a banker had the authority to decide how much content needed to come out of each studio and where that content was going to go. And that I want to sit here and say, cause I'm not a fan. I think, hey, everything I've heard, Bob Chapek is a super, super nice guy. I'm not trying to speak ill of the gentleman, but the experiment of him being the CEO of Disney, I think, was wanting. And I do think there is a definite chunk of what is ailing the MCU today with that era of leadership. And it's going to take a little while, just like it took a little while for us to feel the effects of Bob Chapek's changes. It's going to take a little while to feel the effects of undoing those Bob Chapek changes. You know what I'm saying? So you can't blame it all on Chapek, but that whole restructured everything certainly hurt. It certainly hurt. So anyway, yeah, there's that. All right. Let's keep going here. Next up, CJ Rebirth writes, would you like to see a sequel to the new D&D movie? I would. Listen, I'm a little bit different than a lot of people. Like, to me, I understand this, and there's nothing wrong with this, and you're probably right if you think this way. There is a way of thinking of like, well, the story doesn't naturally continue, so don't do a sequel. I get that, but I don't think that way. I think in terms of characters, right? Like, let's go back to The Hangover. Look, The Hangover 2 was a disappointment, yes. But when they announced they were going to do a Hangover 2, I remember a lot of people said, where's there left for the story to go? What, are they going to lose him in Las Vegas again? Which kind of is what they did again anyway. Anyway, but to me, it was, I love the fact that they were doing a Hangover 2 because I just want to go back to the movie theater and hang out with those, that wolf pack. I want to hang out with those guys again for another 2 hours. It was kind of the same thing with Supernatural as a TV series, right? Like for me, yeah, there were some seasons where the story was better than others. Yeah, absolutely. But even in their weaker story seasons, I loved watching that show because I just loved hanging out with the Winchesters and Crowley and Castiel and Bobby when he was on it. And, you know, I just loved every week having an hour where I could sit down and just hang out with those characters. I just really enjoyed it. And D&D to me is the same thing. Like, first of all, there are many stories you could do after this D&D movie. But my primary thing would be, I just want to hang out with those characters again because I loved the character. Justice Smith is really good in the movie. I certainly liked him more in this than I did in Detective Pikachu. But I would definitely like to see a sequel to it. They don't have to do one, but I would definitely like it. All right. Jesse Has a Turtle writes, also, I haven't seen the show yet, but did you get my tip I sent in about a 3-part chat where I thank you guys for skipping on the show? I don't remember, Jesse. I really don't. Like, Jesse, like these, just, you know, Jesse, these types of messages, don't waste your money like sending in a message. Just send me an email. Y'all know my email, john@thejohncampiashow.com. john@thejohncampiashow.com. Send me an email like that. And if there's an issue, again, we do run into issues sometimes because we rely on third-party things like Stream Elements and YouTube's chat log. And they're normally pretty reliable, but unfortunately, and they're free services to use, so there's not a lot of quality control. They are pretty reliable, but every once in a while I hear from people who say, thankfully it doesn't happen often, but every once in a while I do hear from people who say, hey, I had sent in something and it didn't get there and we'll go in and look at the log. Well, here's what'll happen. Sometimes somebody will write to me and say, hey, I asked something and it didn't get asked, and we'll go into the log and we'll see that it's there. And it's like, oh, and then we'll look at the show and say, oh, it was answered. And I'm able to respond to somebody and say, actually it was answered on last Tuesday's show or whatever. Right. But sometimes we go in and we don't see it in the log at all. I mean, it happens sometimes. Thankfully, it doesn't happen a lot, but it's the limitations that we deal with. Again, thankfully, it doesn't happen often, but sometimes it does. All right. But again, if you run into a problem like that again, Jesse, instead of, you don't need to spend $5 to tell me about that. Just write to me at john@thejohncabeshow.com if there's an issue, and I'll look. I'll at least take a minute to look into it. You know what I'm saying? All right. Thanks for that, Jesse. Next up, Eddie Vedder's stunt double writes, been a while since I wrote in. I just wanted to say I love you all and thanks for providing such awesome content, John. Oh, thank you, Eddie Vedder stunt double. I appreciate that very much. Listen, it's, I can honestly say, you know, some people say if that wasn't my job, I would still do it. If doing this show wasn't my job, I don't know that I would still do the show, but I would absolutely be one of the people in the chat board. I love every day, as much as doing the show, I love just getting in and chatting and looking at the chat boards. Like a lot of times you'll see me, like I'll got one of my monitors on my desk. I just always have the chat board open and I'm just loving reading what people are writing and stuff like that. If I wasn't doing this as a job, I would just be in the chat board all day. So thank you for that, Eddie. I appreciate the support and thank you for being here and being part of our community, man. All right. Next up, I'm terrible at name. I'm going to try to get this right. Tahir Rahim writes, hey, John, have you seen Poker Face on Peacock yet? It lost a bit of steam in the second half, but I'm so glad that the second season has been confirmed. So Anne watched it and loved it. And then so I finally got started on it. I am one episode in and that's it. I understand it's a little bit like an anthology series a little bit, like it's kind of a different story every week. But at any rate, I'm one episode in. I really, really like the first episode. So I am kind of hooked on it. I want to get through, before I go back and pick up on it though, I want to get through Ted Lasso, and I want to get through Shrinking, and I want to get through The Reluctant Traveler, and I want to get through, there's one other thing. So there's a few things I want to get through first, and then I'm going to go back and pick up with Poker Face, because I really did like what I saw so far. Thanks for putting that and keeping that at the top of my head to hear. All right, next up. Patrick McCarthy writes, favorite Bond song. Ooh. Favorite Bond song. You know, I don't think it's the best Bond song. I mean, that Adele's, the Adele one was really good. The Adele one's really good. I would honestly think my favorite one is probably Duran Duran's View to a Kill. It's a view to a kill. I think that might be my favorite. I don't know. It's just, I hear that song and I instantly associate it with James Bond. You know what I mean? Live and Let Die. Raleigh Springer saying Live and Let Die. That's a pretty good one. Richie Rich, You Only Live Twice. The World Is Not Enough. I think it's going to be View to a Kill. Even though that might be the worst one, but that's the one I kind of think of. You know, this is the hallmark of a really good song in a movie is when you just hear a few bars of that song and your mind and imagination is instantly teleported into that movie again. You know what I mean? So do me a favor, guys in the live chat, let me know if you have a song for you that the moment you just hear even a few notes of it, your whole mind is just teleported back into that movie. I'm going to tell you what my favorite one is that does that. At least the one that does that really, really. Heart Will Go On. Kintantic is saying Heart Will Go On from Titanic. That's a great example of one. That is a great example of one. Another one that I really, really like is, I don't know why, but when I hear the first few bars of "All My Bags Are Packed, I'm Ready to Go," Armageddon. As soon as I start hearing this, the humming for leaving on a jet plane, My head instantly goes to that. I'll tell you what, somebody in the live chat just got the one I'm going to say is my main one. My absolute main one, that when I hear the even just the first few notes of it, I am totally submerged and immersed in the movie. It's Everything I Do from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, by good Canadian kid Bryan Adams. Look into my eyes and you will see. I should pull up my, oh, I don't have my guitar here. I was going to pull up my guitar and start playing it. What you mean to me. I mean, that song, the moment I hear even just a couple of notes of Everything I Do, I am instantly gone to that damn Kevin Costner movie where he plays a very questionable Englishman with a very questionable English accent that comes and goes sometimes. And that damn Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. And MJ Joseph B is saying, yeah, and Alan Rickman as the sheriff. I almost, listen, Alan Rickman's Hans Gruber is considered by a lot of people to maybe be the greatest movie villain of all time. For me, it's Darth Vader, but a lot of people consider that. But I almost like Alan Rickman, Sheriff of Nottingham, even more, almost. Rampage Predacon saying Kiss from a Rose for Batman Forever. Absolutely, 100%. Whenever I hear that song, totally. Phil Collins' music in Tarzan. Make a Man, yeah, I love that. Anything from that. Come and Get Your Love from Guardians of the Galaxy is absolutely. Circle of Life from Lion King, absolutely. I mean, yeah, to me, that's the hallmark of a great song. Not musical score. Not the score, that's different. But of perfect song placement in a movie that the moment you hear it, you are just teleported into the movie. Another one for me, I don't know if any of you guys mentioned it in the live chat, I didn't see it go by, but is Into the West by Annie Lennox for the Lord of the Rings movies. Come on. What can it be? Bum, 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 bum. On the horizon. Do, 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 do. I mean, come on. Don't tell me you don't hear that music and instantly you're like teleported back into Lord of the Rings. Ah, it's so good. King Tantic is also saying Go the Distance from Hercules. Absolutely. That's a big one. Anyway. Okay. Sorry. We could talk about the songs that you instantly identify with the movie. We could talk about this one all freaking day. Okay. Let's see here. Malik R, X Gonna Give It To You from Deadpool. That's a pretty good one too. All right. We've only got a couple left here. Next up, we've got Fangblaze71 who writes, don't know if I've ever been as excited for a movie as I am for Guardians 3. I've only cried once during a movie, but this one might be the second. I'll tell you what, I don't think, listen, it's just me. I don't personally think the trailer for Guardians 3 was as good as most people think it is. Like, I think it's a good trailer. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a good trailer. But I have 100% faith in this movie. After watching the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which I thought was a stupid idea, I admit it, I thought it was a stupid idea. But then I watched it, and without exaggeration, it is now my all-time favorite holiday special. More than Frosty, more than Rudolph. I know that's sacrilegious to say, but it's true. That is now my favorite holiday special movie. I will go back and watch that damn holiday special every year now for the rest of my life. I'm definitely going to do it. And that got me seriously, seriously, seriously hyped for Guardians 3. And never doubt James Gunn. I'm super stoked for it. Cannot wait for Guardians 3. Hopefully it's going to be the movie that kind of brings that magic of the MCU back. Fingers crossed. All right. Next up, let's see. Eddie Burton writes, curious, with retirement looming, are there any other goals to reach for the channel between watching since AMC? It's incredible what you've accomplished. Well, appreciate that. Thank you very much. And what he's talking about, for those of you who don't know, is I'm not retiring anytime imminently. Don't get me wrong. But I am thinking probably around the time that maybe just after Superman Legacy comes out, maybe that's when I'm going to look at retiring. So a couple years away, but because I want to retire young, I want to retire when I'm going to be able to go out and do all the things I want to do, spend more time with family. I want to, you know, Ann and I have a lot of charities and nonprofits we like to work with and I can dedicate more time to. I want to travel a little bit. I got a lot I want to do. There is something that that me and my business manager are working on right now, and I don't know if it's going to happen. We just had a kind of an interesting development, but I don't know if it's going to happen, so I'm not going to talk about it publicly. And that would probably be my last remaining goal. Other than that, I just want to do my show. I want to enjoy what time I have left while I'm doing it professionally as a career. But this one thing that me and my business manager are looking at doing is, and when I'm able to talk about it, I will talk to you guys about it. But, and we've had some interesting developments, but we'll see what happens. All right. Next up, we've got James Argenta, who writes, doubleheader today with Ted Lasso and Mando. Wait a second, does Ted Lasso come out today? Like, I remember the first episode of the new season dropped the other day, and was that a week ago? Is the new episode, guys in the live chat, can you help me out with that? Does the new episode of Ted Lasso come out tonight? Yes, Xavier Phoenix is saying yes. Okay, that gets me excited. And then tonight, it's a midnight kind of night for me. I stay up until midnight to watch, because in Los Angeles, that's when the new Mandalorian episodes drop, is at midnight. Yeah, that's a good doubleheader tonight. You're damn right about that, James Argenta. 100%. All right, guys, that's a perfect time to end. We're about 1 hour on the nose. Guys, that'll do it for today's installment of Open Mic. Thank you so much for being here, guys. Hey, guys, don't forget, remember, you can start sending in questions right now or anytime you're watching this video 24/7 to be read on the John Campia Show tomorrow by going to streamelements.com/John Campia/tip. We've gone back to that because we've heard from a lot of people that are never able to watch the show live and they want to be able to submit questions. And so we've done it like this again. And the cool thing is, if we don't get around to your question on the live show because we don't run out of time, we answer them here on Open Mic. And then we still take some live questions as well. I kind of like this pattern so far. We'll see if we stick with it. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for being here. Don't forget to join us again for tomorrow. We've got a number of things already on the docket to talk about, some pretty big things to talk about. Hope you guys will join us for then. So until next time, my friends, thanks a lot for being here. My name's John Campia. And until then, everybody, bye-bye.